The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Dostoevsky defines man as a being who can get used to anything. But, he adds, don't ask us how we do it. Perhaps one of the hardest things for us to get used to is also one of the most obvious, that we are responsible beings who must accept the consequences of our actions. How hard it is to do that sometimes. Imagine then a situation where you are asked to accept the consequences of an action not of your making. And imagine further that it is a matter of life and death.
I've got to go to the police, Lucy.
You can't.
It's my duty as a citizen.
Well, what about your duty as my husband? Oh, if you go to the police, Langston's men will kill you.
Honey, if I don't go to the police, Langston's enemies will kill me.
Our mystery drama, Crossfire, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Percy Grainger and stars Russell Horton.
It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and Sign Off, the sinus medicines. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you have a lot of surfaces to clean, grab your partner, Fantastic, the multi-surface spray cleaner. It cleans fiberglass, stainless steel, porcelain, plastic, enamel, vinyl, chrome. Fantastic spray cleaner. Clean surface after surface.
New from NBC TV.
This Friday, the two hottest comedy hits, Different Strokes and Hello Larry,
are back to back
and laugh to laugh. Start off with Different Strokes. Willis threatens to move out to get more privacy.
Then it's Hello Larry. Larry's X-rated radio show gets his daughter in hot water.
Tune into Different Strokes
and turn on to Hello Larry.
They're two anything but average families
in one anything but ordinary hour.
On Comedy Night,
Friday night, starting at 8, 7 o'clock Central and Mountain on...
You've got to go to Townsend Pontiac and buy a car. It's really important. It's important to you, and it's important to Mr. Townsend. Now, you could buy a beautiful new 79 Pontiac. Townsend has such a great selection, you won't have any trouble finding the car you want. Or you could buy a great new four-wheel drive International Scout. Boy, that'll take you where you've got to go and back again. Come on, it's important. Why? Well, Jack Townsend knows that once you're a Townsend customer, you wouldn't want to buy anywhere else. And that's important to Mr. Townsend.
Your satisfaction is our satisfaction at Townsend Pontiac.
6300 Broadway.
Townsend Pontiac.
Merrillville, Indiana.
Philosopher Schopenhauer claimed that mankind was doomed to vacillate eternally between the two extremes of distress and boredom. That is an extremely pessimistic view of life, yet we must admit it contains a certain amount of truth. The central character in our story is a man named Frank Grove, and one might say that distress and boredom were occupational hazards in his profession. Driving a cab in New York City. As we pick up his story on a fashionable side street in Midtown Manhattan, boredom has definitely had the upper hand on the evening. But, as they say, the night is still young.
Hello? Hey, mister.
Huh?
Are you taking fares?
Sure. Hop in.
I applaud your ability to sleep in all this traffic.
That's not too hard to do on a slow night. You're not from New York, huh?
No, Miami. You won't take advantage of me, will you?
Well, not intentionally. Where to?
132 Clarkson Avenue.
Clarkson, that's in the Bronx.
Yes.
Yeah, the South Bronx. It's not a very safe section of town.
Look, I've tried three drivers already, and none of them would take me there. I have to be there by 8:30. If you won't take me, just say so.
No. Just so long as you know what you're doing, all I have to know is where you're going. Ever been up to this area of town before?
No.
You can see a lot of the buildings have been burned out and abandoned.
Yeah.
I guess you could say it was instinct.
Eh? What was?
Well, my decision to drive you up here. After a while in this line of work, you develop instincts about people. You have to if you want to avoid trouble.
And I struck you as a harmless type?
Oh, yeah, you could say it that way. Oh, no offense meant. I won't say it isn't strange, however. I mean, I think to myself, I'm not trying to pry, but I think to myself, what kind of business could this guy have up here? I pick him up in front of one of the classiest hotels in the city. He's wearing good clothes.
Look, isn't that Clarkson Street right up there ahead?
Oh, yeah. Hey, sorry, I guess I'm talking too much.
Oh, there's 132.
Hey, are you sure you got the right address? That building looks deserted.
How much do I owe you?
$8.35.
Oh.
What's the matter?
This is embarrassing. I don't have my wallet. I must have left it at the hotel.
You don't have any money on you?
No, only some change.
Look, mister, I normally don't do this, but if you want to write out a check, I'll...
Look, just wait here. I'll get some money from the person I've come to see.
Now, listen, it's all right. I'd rather not hang around. I'll give you a card with my address, and you can mail
just
it...
Just hang on, okay? It'll only take a minute.
Hey, mister! On a slow night, everything goes wrong. Boy, this area looks the way Berlin must have after the war. Did you get the money okay?
Get us out of here quick.
What?
Come on. Go, move.
What's going on?
Take me back to the hotel where you picked me up.
Hey, mister, look, there's the matter of my...
Never mind that. Look, I got plenty of money.
Well, I thought you weren't carrying any cash.
Just get going.
Well, we're here, mister. This is where I picked you up, the Belvo Hotel.
Yeah, thanks.
Let's see, that was $8.35 for the trip up, $8.50 coming back, $16.85 altogether.
All right. Here you go.
Hey, this is a $100 bill. I can't change that.
It's the smallest bill I have.
In that whole wad there, you've got nothing smaller than 100?
I'm sorry.
Well, obviously, $16.85 isn't much to you, but to me, it's a lot. Look, I'll wait here while you get change in the hotel, okay?
Listen, may I ask you a question?
What?
This cab, do you own it or is it part of a fleet?
Well, it's mine. I own it. Why?
So you keep your own hours, right?
Yeah. Look, mister, if...
When do you start work tomorrow?
3:30. It depends. Whenever I feel like it.
All right. Tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, I want you to drive along 62nd Street between 1st and York. Now, there'll be a man in a long, dark overcoat walking along the south side of the street. You got it? He'll hail you. He'll identify himself as Mr. Meacham. I want you to pick him up and take him wherever he wishes to go.
No, thanks. Look, if you just change that bill...
I'm not asking this just as a favor. I'm prepared to make it worth your while.
Look, I'm sorry. I'm not asking any questions, okay? I don't know what's going on, and I don't want to know.
I won't change this bill.
What?
This $100 bill. It's yours.
$100?
The whole thing. And I'll see that my friend Meacham gives you the same.
Mister, is this something illegal?
4 o'clock tomorrow. Is it a deal?
Hey, I'm sorry, but I don't know what this is. You got to understand it from my position. I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, I don't know what the consequences are.
Ignorance is bliss. And in this case, it's also $200.
Well, why me? Why does it have to be me? My cab?
The question of timing is very important. We have to know there'll be a cab available to Mr. Meacham at precisely 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, but getting a cab in this city isn't hard unless it's raining.
Well, then let's just say we're willing to pay $200 so we won't have to worry about the weather tomorrow. Now, no more questions, okay? $100. Is it a deal?
And another $100 tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a deal.
Frank?
Oh, hi, honey.
Oh, why are you home so early tonight? Did you have a fair in the neighborhood?
No.
It's only 10 o'clock. Aren't you feeling well?
I gotta talk to you, Luce.
What's the matter?
I just made $100.
$100? How? Well,
that's just it. I don't know. I pick up this guy in Midtown, right?
Yeah.
Nice-looking businessman type, well-dressed. I mean, real well-dressed. And he asks me to take him to this address in the South Bronx. We get there, it's an abandoned tenement. And he's got no money.
No money?
Yeah, to pay for the cab. All I want to do is get out of there, but he insists on going inside to get money to pay me. Now, 5 seconds later, he runs out, jumps back in the cab, flashes a roll of $100 bills in my face, and tells me to step on it.
Oh, and he paid you $100?
Yeah. And tomorrow he wants me to drive down a particular street at a certain time and pick up some other guy he says will also give me $100.
What for?
Just to drive him wherever he wants to go.
Oh, you're not going to do it, are you? What is their plan to hurt you?
Why?
Well, you could identify the man you drove up there now, couldn't you?
Of course.
Well, that makes you a witness.
Hey, you're right, Luce. You know, I'm going to do what I should have done the minute I walked in the door. Call the police.
Oh, no.
But they have to know about this. They have to check out that building.
No, we shouldn't get involved.
We are already involved, whether we like it or not. I took the guy up there. I accepted this $100 bill.
No, Frank, no, please, don't call him.
Now, we have to, Lucy. It's our responsibility as citizens. Operator, get me the police. Well, the officer I spoke to said they'd send up a patrol car right away to that address.
I heard you give them our name.
Well, of course. Well, what if they find something and they want to ask more questions? If I can be of any help to them, that's what I should do.
Well, and then what?
What?
If those crooks find out you went to the police, then what do you think they'll do?
Well, how do you know they're crooks?
Well, Frank, something obviously happened in that building.
Okay, but how will they find out I called the police? Look, I just won't go pick up that man. Tomorrow it'll be all over. You'll get another cab, no big deal. And if the police don't find anything wrong up there, I'll get him myself and make us another $100 without having to worry or have a bad conscience, okay?
Well, okay.
And in any case, we're $100 richer. Nothing to worry about. Hey, let's get our coats and go down to the Tyrolean Gardens for a late night dinner with some of this money, okay? Who could that be at this hour?
Frank, be careful. I'm scared.
Now, calm down. Yes?
You Frank Grove?
Yes, I am.
My name is Gilbert Stokes. This gentleman here is Jim Watson. We're with the police department.
You police?
Yes, ma'am. Detectives, plainclothes.
Oh.
What can I do for you?
You are a cab driver, is that right?
Yes.
You went to 132 Clarkson Street earlier this evening, eh?
Yeah.
About 8:30 to be exact?
Yeah. I remember the time because he was very definite about wanting to get there by exactly 8:30.
Who was very definite?
Well, the man we're talking about, the man I drove up there.
All right, let's go, Mr. Grove.
Well, my wife and I were about to go out to dinner. Do I have to come all the way down to the station?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Please don't get me wrong. I want to be all the help to you guys I can, but... couldn't I just answer whatever questions you got here?
You don't seem to get it, Mr. Grove.
What do you mean?
A guy was killed at 132 Clarkson Street tonight, and we're taking you into custody on suspicion of first-degree murder.
A good conscience is the best pillow, goes an old proverb. If that is so, then Frank Grove shouldn't have a great deal to worry about. But then what is so is not always clear. Who, for example, could have predicted this turn of events? Perhaps Frank Grove is involved in something and just doesn't know about it yet. I shall return shortly with Act Two.
Sinus flares up.
I'm clogged up. Headaches. My whole face hurts. Help!
Send for Sinoff.
Sinoff helps relieve your pain, helps clear congestion, ease sinus pressure and post-nasal drip. Sinoff does it all.
Send for Sinoff.
And for the fastest known form of congestion relief, Sinoff Spray, S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff.
The sinus medicines in the bright red box.
Is here.
For occasional use, only as directed.
Maxwell House is coffee you can count on. Maxwell House, good to the last drop. Maxwell House is
a good morning.
Maxwell House is
good company.
Good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
Maxwell House, coffee you can count on. Always smells good, always tastes good, always good to the last drop.
Maxwell House is
good coffee.
Good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
Welcome to winter. Your hands are freezing, teeth are chattering, and your toes are vivid blue. Isn't it time you turned the tables on Old Man Winter? Give him the cold shoulder for a change. Take a Delta Dream vacation in warm and sunny Miami Beach. Think of it. You'll be dining in fancy restaurants, dancing the Charleston, the hustle, even the flamenco. You can yell at the racetrack or watch the stars come out at nightclubs. For seven exciting nights, you'll drink up the sights and soak up the sun for eight unforgettable days. All for $180 to $282 per person, double occupancy, plus Delta airfare. The price includes a room on the ocean, an Alamo rental car, a waterway cruise, snorkeling, tennis, and more. Rate depends on resort and date selected. For reservations, call your travel agent and put the heat on Old Man Winter on a Delta Dream Vacation in Miami Beach. Delta is ready when you are.
Albert Einstein observed that everything is relative, depending on the vantage point from which it is viewed. From our point of view, Frank Grove is an innocent man. At most, he is guilty of taking a $100 bill from someone who might be involved in shady dealings. But from the point of view of the detectives on his doorstep, he is guilty of far more than that. Where does the truth lie?
Officer! You're making a mistake.
If so, we'll get it straightened out down at the police station.
Now, my husband isn't a murderer.
Well, he admits going to the address where the body was found. Is that right?
Well, yes, because I had a fare. Some guy asked me to drive him there, but I never even got out of the cab.
This guy you claim you drove. Tell me, where did you pick him up?
In Midtown.
Where?
In front of the Belleville Hotel. I dropped him at the same place.
I see. Is he staying there?
Well, I couldn't say that for certain.
Oh, Frank.
Well, I couldn't, really, honey. Not for sure. I mean, I didn't actually see him come out of the hotel or go into it.
Do you know his name?
Well, why would he tell me his name?
I'm just checking, okay? Now, we got to cover all the angles. What'd he look like?
Oh, he was very well dressed. Silk suit, mm-hmm. Good-looking shoes, nice tie.
Do you think you could identify him if you saw him again?
Oh, sure. I got a good look at him under the streetlight. And after he got back in the cab, he made me so nervous, I kept an eye on him in the rearview mirror.
Well, why did he make you nervous?
Well, one minute he said he didn't have any money. A few seconds later, he comes running out of that building. He had a whole fistful of bills.
The Belvo Hotel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember. He said he was from out of town. Miami.
Uh-huh.
You see, Lucy, there's no problem. They're just doing their job.
Well, I still don't think you should have gotten involved.
Involved? What do you mean?
Well, I just don't think he should have called the police at all.
Oh, you called the police when?
Well, maybe 10, 15 minutes ago. Isn't that why you're here?
Yeah. A patrol car in the area checked it out and radioed us to pick you up. That's all we know. So, come on, let's go.
You're still going to arrest him?
Now, Lucy, there's nothing to worry about. I just got to cooperate with them.
I'm not even listening to you. Why don't they go find this man from Miami?
Because, Mrs. Grove, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
It's, kind of, exciting getting arrested when you know you're innocent. You know, it's a chance to see how you fellas operate.
You think only innocent people get arrested, huh?
Oh, no. I just meant the... Hey, where are we going? There's the police station. You just passed it.
Yeah, that's right.
Where are you taking me?
Your wife had a good point, Mr. Grove. We ought to find your passenger.
Oh, so you do believe I took someone up there?
Well, of course we do.
I don't get it.
You don't have to.
Police.
What do you want now?
Mrs. Grove?
Yeah?
I'm Lieutenant Thompson, Homicide Division. Here's my ID.
Well?
I'd like to speak to your husband.
Yeah, if you want to speak to my husband, what are you doing here?
Excuse me. This is the home of Frank Grove, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, he drives a cab by profession?
Yeah. Okay. Time do we got to go through this?
Well, I'm sorry. Maybe your husband didn't tell you, but he called in this evening with a lead on some possible trouble at an uptown address.
Well, now, no kidding.
Well, we checked it out. He was right. We found a body. A man was murdered, and we'd like to get some further details from your husband about the passenger he said he drove up there.
Well, then why don't you just turn around and go back to the police headquarters?
I beg your pardon?
Well, that's where your men have taken him.
My men?
Two plainclothes detectives were here not 15 minutes ago.
And they took your husband?
They arrested him.
On what charge?
They claim he murdered that man.
Mrs. Grove, these two men, did you see their identification?
Well, they didn't show us any. Why?
I said, did they give their names?
Gilbert Stokes and something Watson. I didn't get his first name.
Mrs. Grove, I don't know who those two men were, but they were not police. There's no one in our division by those names.
They weren't the police? Well, then who were they? And how did they know Frank went to that address tonight?
This is the place?
The Belvoir Hotel, yeah. I picked them up right out in front. Now, but I cannot say for a fact that he was staying here. I mean, he never actually said...
All right. We'll check it out. Hey, Watson.
Yes, boss?
You'd better go back out and stay with the car. It's in a no parking zone.
You mean you guys have to worry about getting tickets?
Yeah. Come on.
Well, I'll do my best, officer, but... This is a big hotel. I don't even know this guy's name.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yes, may I help you?
Yeah. We're looking for someone who might be staying here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Grove, you're on.
Yes. Well, it's a man. Mm-hmm. He's about 6 feet tall.
But perhaps if you just told me his name.
I don't know his name. I'm sorry. But he was a very distinguished-looking guy.
Well, we have a lot of people staying with us, and we specialize in distinguished-looking people.
Oh, he was from Miami. He told me that.
Oh, well, all right. I suppose I can look down our register here. I only see one guest from Miami. Mr. Langston.
Langston.
Frederick Langston. He checked in earlier today.
Fine-boned, broad-shouldered, about 45, a bit gray at the temples.
Sir, I do not examine every guest.
Wearing a dark green silk suit?
Langston. Oh, yes. Oh, I know who you're talking about.
What room is he in?
Oh, a room 212, but you won't find him in.
Well, why not?
Well, he was taken away about a half an hour ago by the police.
Get in, Grove.
You find him, boss?
The police got him.
The police? What for?
I don't know.
Look, can't we just go down to the station and get this all cleared up?
Yeah, shut up, Grove.
Yeah, but if the man we're looking for is already in custody...
Forget it, all right?
Sure, I'm sorry. I guess you fellas know what you're doing.
Yeah. Go on, beat it.
Huh?
Go on home.
I thought I was under arrest.
Yeah, we don't need you anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, maybe I could still help you.
How?
This Mr. Langston asked me to pick somebody up tomorrow afternoon.
Oh.
Somebody named Meacham. Does that name mean anything to you?
Where are you picking him up, huh?
Oh, on 62nd Street between York and First at 4 o'clock.
And then what?
Well, I'm just supposed to take him somewhere, but I don't know where. Langston said Meacham would tell me once he was in the cab. Langston gave me $100, which I guess I should have told you right away. I didn't mean to withhold evidence, but...
Will you just forget it? Just keep the money. This gives us a second chance, don't it, Watson?
Yeah. If we know where Meacham's gonna be tomorrow.
No. He wouldn't cooperate with us. We'll let Mr. Grove here pick him up and lead us right to what we're after.
Hey, we can't let him go. Remember, he said he called the cops.
Shut up.
The cops will have been to his house by now. His wife will have figured out what's going on.
What is going on?
Hey, just relax, Grove.
Hey, you guys aren't cops at all, are you? Who are you? How did you know that I was the cab driver who drove that man up to Clarkson Street?
How do you think?
You must have been there. You got my cab number, and then got my name and address from the dispatcher. You were inside that house. You're the guys Mr. Langston ran out to get away from, but then you must be the guys that murdered that man.
That's right, Mr. Grove.
What are you gonna do with me?
We're gonna let you go.
Hey, Stone!
Shut up, Watson. Mr. Grove here isn't going to go to the police. Are you, Mr. Grove?
Just
bear with me for a minute, Mr. Grove. I'm going to paint a picture for you. Now, Watson and I are what you might call agents. We work for what you might call a corporation.
You mean organized crime?
A corporation, Mr. Grove. All right? Now, we are after something, and you're going to help lead us to it by picking Meacham up tomorrow. And every time you have the itch to call the cops, just remember, we're just a couple of small chips on a very large iceberg.
Frank! Oh, Frank, you're home. Are you all right?
The two detectives that arrested me, they realized they made a mistake, so they let me go.
Oh, you don't need to lie, Frank. I know the truth.
What?
I know those two men weren't police. Our real detective was here about an hour ago. Oh, I thought I might never see you alive again. How did you escape from them?
Well, they let me go.
Oh, thank the Lord it's over.
No, it's not. It would be if I hadn't opened my big, helpful mouth before I realized they weren't cops. See, I told them about this guy Meacham I'm supposed to pick up tomorrow. So now they're going to shadow me until they get what they're after.
Well, what are they after?
I don't know.
Oh, this poor Meacham. What do you think they'll do to him?
Oh, it doesn't matter. They're all a bunch of crooks.
Well, now, how do you know that?
Because the police, the real police, have taken Langston into custody.
Langston?
Oh, yeah, that's the guy I drove up to Clarkson Street in the first place, the start of all this trouble. When we got to the Belleville Hotel, the desk clerk told us the cops had just been there and taken him away. Obviously, I've gotten caught in the crossfire between two gangs. Langston must have been on his way to make a connection with the man Stokes and Watson murdered. He realized something had gone wrong and ducked out before they got him, too.
Frank, I'm scared. Are you going to call the police again?
No. No, I have had it being good citizen Frank. I'm going to pick up Meacham, take him wherever he wants to go, let him out, and get away as fast as I can. And let the lot of them fight it out over whatever it is they're after.
Oh, morning, Luce. I got breakfast on.
Oh, here's the morning paper. Oh, I'll take the vacuum out and clean the cab while the eggs are cooking.
Okay.
And don't you get so wrapped up in the paper you forget to keep an eye on the stove. Frank?
Huh? Oh, did the eggs burn?
Look what I found in the cab.
A velvet pouch. Where was it?
Stuffed down behind the back seat.
One of my customers must have dropped it.
Oh, look what's inside.
Diamonds? Diamonds. Well, there must be dozens of them here. Look at the size. Honey, these must be worth a fortune.
What people are ashamed of usually makes a good story, says a character in one of F. Scott Fitzgerald's novels. And by the same token, what people try to hide can also make an interesting tale. Is it safe to assume that we have finally discovered the object of all the mystery? If so, Frank may not be as close to extricating himself from his unwilling involvement as he had thought. Of course, the big question is, what will he do? We'll find out when I return with Act 3.
Now, True Value Hardware Stores can help you add to your home workshop with quality cutting tools at very sharp prices. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you they offer dependable name-brand hand tools like the Master Mechanic 26-inch 8-point hand saw for just $347. This Master Mechanic saw features a hardened and tempered steel blade that's bevel-filed and set for cleaner and easier cuts. Another sharp buy from True Value Hardware Stores is the Stanley Surform Shaver for just $1.77. It's more versatile than other types of planes because it can cut and shave rough wood, plastic, and metal, and do it faster and easier. And it's compact and flexible enough for shaving and finishing around tight corners and in those hard-to-reach spots. Get these and other quality name brand tools at participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers.
True Value Hardware, it's more than just a name.
Hi, welcome back to Wild Olds in Libertyville.
Thank you.
How was the car you bought last week?
Oh, we love it, but that's not why we're here.
No?
We're here because you made such a great impression on my son.
I did?
Yes, and Skippy's decided he wants to be a Wild Old salesman.
Well, I'm flattered.
So could you talk to him? He'd be so tickled.
Oh, sure. Where's the little shaver?
He's hiding behind that cutlass. Skippy, come out and meet the nice Wild Old salesman.
Hello.
My, you're a big little boy.
I'm 6'4".
Wow. Tell the man why you want to be a Wild Old salesman.
I like the friendly, relaxed...
Speak up, Skippy.
I like the friendly, relaxed way you showed us the large selection of cars.
What else,
Wild Old salesman, don't use pressure or hype you. You can just take your time and look around.
Well, that's the way we do things here in Libertyville.
And he was so impressed with the free loaner cars available when you make an appointment for service. Well, it's true now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, but you didn't have to tell him
Skippy,
about it.
Did you always want to be a Wild Old salesman?
No, I used to want to be a cowboy.
Well, that explains the cowboy hat holster and six-shooter.
It's called a bang-bang.
Well, I meant...
Skippy.
Well, that's what it's called.
Wild Old in Libertyville, the beautiful place in the country.
WBBM Chicago, News Radio 78.
Respond to things is a fairly accurate yardstick for measuring who we are. Frank Grove has already demonstrated that by nature he is a law-abiding citizen, ready and willing to be as helpful to the authorities as he can. Lucy, his wife, has been somewhat less civic-minded, but then she may have something else on her mind, like staying alive.
Diamonds! Look, Lucy, look how they catch the morning light, how they reflect the sun.
Have you ever seen anything so beautiful?
Frank, how did those diamonds get into your cab?
Of course. This must be it. This must be what all those guys are after.
Are you sure? I mean, couldn't someone have just dropped this by accident?
Oh, Langston was the only fare I took last night. It had to be him.
But you said he didn't even have any money on him until after he came out of that building.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he just said that so I'd be forced to wait for him. I never would have hung around that neighborhood otherwise, and he'd never have found another cab there, especially at night. So,
These are what he was taking up there to deliver to that man who was murdered.
Then they must have slipped out of his pocket while you were driving him back to his hotel. Oh, and now he's been arrested.
You know something? I don't think he dropped them, Lucy.
Why not?
Well, this pouch is too bulky to have slipped down behind the seat by itself.
You mean you think he left them in your cab on purpose?
Yeah. And I think that's why I'm picking up this fellow Meacham this afternoon, so he can retrieve them. Langston must have suspected the police were onto him. That must be it. It had nothing to do with where I was supposed to take Meacham at all. The only thing that counted was that it was my cab he got into. And that's why it was worth $200 to him.
Well, what are we going to do?
Well, I don't know. Maybe we should call the police again.
Well, you can't. Not now. Not if Meacham knows you have these. I mean, you have to deliver them.
But it's stolen property, Lucy. It doesn't belong to them.
Well, we don't know that. Not for certain.
Well, it has to be. I mean, why else was Langston acting so furtively? Why else would the police arrest him? I don't think I have any choice.
Well, think what Meacham will do if he doesn't find them.
Honey, we have got to do what's right.
One man has already been killed, Frank. Look, let him pick up the diamonds and let us get out of this nightmare.
But what if that isn't the end of it? I mean, how do I know I'll be safe after Meacham has the diamonds? What if he has orders to kill me anyway?
Why?
Well, what's the phrase they always use in the movies? I know too much. I can identify Langston. I can identify Meacham. Honey, these are desperate men. The police are obviously on to them. One side's already shown they're ready to kill for these little pieces of rock. Why not the other?
It's not fair. It's not right that you should have gotten caught up in this.
But the fact is, I have. I have got to go to the police. At least they can protect us.
Oh, from two mobs? How? Now, how are they going to protect us?
I don't know. One side knows I have the diamonds, is expecting me to deliver them. The other side doesn't know I have them, but is watching every move I make. Oh, maybe you're right. The least of all the evils is to put them back behind the seat where you found them, let Meacham pick them up, and just hope I'll be safe. I just hate the idea of helping that scum.
I know you do, dear, but it's not your fault. I mean, you can't help it.
Well, that doesn't matter. It's still breaking the law.
Look, you were ready to do it last night. I'll just pick Meacham up and take him wherever he wants to go, now you said.
Well, it was easier when I didn't know exactly what it was I'd be doing. Well, at least we got $100 out of it.
Oh, no.
What?
The eggs. They're burnt.
I'm not hungry.
Breakfast is ruined.
Who cares?
I do. Oh, Frank. Frank, I'm so frightened.
Hey, Lucy. Now, I'll be okay. Hey. What's this?
What?
Well, this picture in the morning paper. It's him.
Who?
Langston. The man I took up to Clarkson Street last night.
Huh?
There's a whole article on him.
Noted businessman seeks asylum. Businessman?
Frederick Langston, highly respected jeweler, has voluntarily placed himself in police custody prior to testimony he intends to give later this week to a grand jury. A grand jury investigating mob infiltration into the jewelry business.
Are you sure this is the same man?
Yeah, it says he's from Miami. Oh, that's where this guy was from. And the picture, I recognized him right off.
Oh, but if he's a businessman...
It says here he has documented evidence of such infiltration, that honest businessmen have had to conduct large-scale transactions in secret, and that even so, a number of jewelry dealers have been murdered.
The man in that building in the Bronx.
Yeah. So Meacham must have been a colleague of his.
Yeah.
Well, I've got nothing to worry about. Except...
What?
Well, I can't take these diamonds to him now. Stokes and Watson will be right behind me. Meacham will be robbed, or worse.
But if you don't...
Lucy, those guys are murderers. Who's that?
Well, quick, get these diamonds out of sight. Okay.
Yes?
Mr. Grove?
Yes.
I'm Detective Lieutenant Thompson with the police department.
Oh.
I was here yesterday. Didn't your wife tell you?
Oh, yes.
Yes, well, she said you were abducted by two men posing as police detectives.
I was, yes.
Two men probably connected in some way with the dead man we discovered up in the Bronx. In response, I might remind you to your phone call.
Yeah.
Well, excuse me, they let you go or did you escape?
Let me go.
You all right?
Yes, thank you.
Well, why didn't you call us?
Oh, I'm sorry, I only just got home.
I came by to speak to your wife to see if she'd had any word from you. You may have seen it in the morning paper that a Mr. Langston has sought police protection.
Yes.
Hmm. That was the man you drove up to the Clarkson Street address?
Yes, it was.
And the two men, the ones who abducted you?
Oh, I think they're the men you're after. I mean, I think they're the murderers. They wanted me to take them to the hotel where I dropped Langston off.
Well, obviously, we have to find them.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me anything about them? What kind of car they were driving?
Well, it was dark. I didn't notice.
Well, did they drop any clues about where they might be?
No. When they found that Mr. Langston had been taken away by the police, they just let me go.
And they said nothing?
Only that I wasn't any more used to them.
I see. Well, thank you.
I hope you don't think I'm withholding evidence.
No. I'm sure you're being of all the help you can be. Good day, Mr. Grove.
Mm.
Thank you, Frank.
I'm a coward.
No, you're not.
I should have told him the whole truth.
Why? It's none of our business.
Now, honey, an innocent man might get hurt.
Well, we never asked to get involved. Innocent. They're no more innocent than those crooks. Using you for their business transactions, off which they'll turn a very nice profit, thank you very much. Langston had no right to involve you this way, against your knowledge. You could have been hurt. You still can be.
I know. I'll just put the diamonds back in the cab.
Taxi! Taxi!
Are you Mr. Meacham?
Yes. May I get in?
Sure.
Well, you're right on time, thanks.
Friend last night said I was supposed to take you somewhere.
Yes, just start driving, if you would, please. I'll give you directions in a moment. Suppose you're wondering what this is all about.
Well, Mr. Langston said I wasn't supposed to ask any questions.
How did you know his name?
What?
Has something gone wrong?
No. I saw it in the morning paper.
Oh. So you know what business we're in, anyway. Why we're having to be so cloak and dagger, as it were.
Uh-huh. Where to?
Pardon?
Where am I supposed to take you?
Oh, well, as it turns out, it doesn't really matter. Right around this corner here will be fine.
Well, are you sure? We're off the main avenue here.
Isn't that all right?
Well, sure, it's just that there's not very many people on these side streets.
No, but I don't see what difference that makes. Now, I believe the price you agreed upon with my colleague was $200? Was it more?
No, 200.
Of which you've already been paid 100, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, then, here's the other 100, Mr. Grove.
How did you know my name?
Well, that's what it says on your taxi license there on the dashboard.
Oh, yeah.
Look here, are you sure everything's all right?
Yeah, sure.
All right, here's your money. It's been a pleasure doing business with you.
Wait. Don't get out. Shut the door.
What's the matter?
We're being followed.
By whom?
The two men who murdered that guy last night up on Clarkson Street. The one Mr. Langston was supposed to meet.
Well, that was Mr. Glover, my partner. Look here, are you sure we're being followed? How do you know?
Now, it's too long to try and explain now, but I know what's going on, Mr. Meacham. My wife discovered the diamonds, the ones you just picked up.
Do you know which car it is that's following us?
The white sedan behind us on the corner.
What could we do? If I get out of this cab now, I'm a dead man.
They threatened me if I tried to double-cross them. That's why I had to pick you up.
I'm sorry, Mr. Grove. The problem was ours. We never should have gotten you involved.
Now, listen. I can put a call in to our dispatcher from the cab here and have him notify the police.
No. You've taken enough risks already. Besides, it's too late. Look, they're getting out of their car. They're coming toward us. Is there anything we can do?
Nothing. This is a dead-end street.
Good. I'll give them the diamonds, Mr. Grove. Hope that'll satisfy them.
Grove? What's going on here? You two having some kind of powwow?
No.
Does this meet him?
Please, I know what it is you're after. If I give them to you, will you let us go?
Well, of course.
Well, then, here they are. And if they're cut properly, there should be $250,000 worth of diamonds there.
Hey, thanks. Well, that was easy. Hey, Watson?
Eh?
Do you have the silencer on your gun?
You said you wouldn't harm us.
Did I? Well, I'm sorry I don't remember. What's it? Hey, what's that?
Cops coming down the street.
Quick, get back to the car.
They cut us off. We're trapped.
Drop it. Drop the gun. Hold it right there, the both of you.
Lucy?
Frank?
Huh?
Oh, Frank, are you all right? Did the police get there in time?
Ooh, just barely. Lieutenant Thompson said it was you who called them, right?
Yeah, I told him where you were meeting Mr. Meacham.
Boy, you saved our lives. Honey, what made you change your mind?
Oh, well, after you left, I read the newspaper article on Mr. Langston again. And I thought, if he's not afraid to testify against those mobsters, then we shouldn't be afraid either.
Yeah. Lieutenant Thompson told me that Langston's testimony will create enough publicity that we won't have to fear reprisals.
Hmm?
Hey, what's this?
What?
How come you're all dressed up?
Oh, well, in case you'd forgotten, you asked me to go out to dinner last night.
Did I? Well, maybe it'll all come back to me, while I'm changing into my suit.
Our actions, even our best deeds, are rarely heroic. But then, so often the situations in which we find ourselves are complex and enigmatic. The lines between right and wrong are clouded and uncertain, except in retrospect. Perhaps the one general statement we can make about ethics is that a good person is one who will stumble more often into the right than the wrong. I shall return in a moment with a final word.
New from NBC TV.
This Friday, the two hottest comedy hits,
Different Strokes and Hello Larry,
are back to back
and laugh to laugh.
Start off with Different Strokes. Willis threatens to move out to get more privacy.
Then it's Hello Larry. Larry's X-rated radio show gets his daughter in hot water.
Tune in to Different Strokes.
Then turn on to Hello Larry.
They're two anything but average families.
And one anything but ordinary hour.
On Comedy Night.
Friday night, starting at 8, 7 o'clock Central and Mountain on NBC.
Some people think fastening seatbelts and wearing helmets are for sissies. They may be the same people who think epilepsy has to be inherited. It doesn't. Or that it's a disease. It isn't. Or that it just happens to other people. It doesn't. For example, severe head injuries suffered in auto accidents are a major cause of epilepsy in adults. Now that you know it can happen to anyone at any time, don't you think you should learn more about epilepsy? Contact your local epilepsy chapter or write EFA, Washington 20036.
To know what is right and to be afraid and yet to act upon your knowledge, that is the mark of a great person. So wrote the French man of letters André Gide. It is interesting to realize that as Frank and Lucy Grove struggled with the dilemma that confronted them, not once did either suggest they simply take the diamonds for themselves. How many of you can say that thought never crossed your mind either? Our cast included Russell Horton, Ann Williams, Court Benson, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Now, maybe I haven't got it all quite right, but that was the sense of it. And the part about the god Hermes and how to ask the question, then put your hands over your ears tight, tight, and leave the bar, I mean the shrine. Then take your hands away and listen to the first thing you hear anybody say. No matter what they said, no matter who they were, that would be the answer to your question.
Sit right there. That's the statue of Hermes, huh? All right, that's it. You just put your little hand on his foot and you sit right there while I tell the chef. Nice chicken sandwich, all white meat, okay? Okay. Just sit there. I'll be right back.
Oh, Hermes. I hope I've done the right thing. It's so hard to tell sometimes. Have I done the right thing this time?
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Sinoff, the sinus medicines, and True Value Hardware Stores. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Yes, clearing the streets. The snow's been heavy and many drivers haven't been able to move their cars. However, Bay Furniture is giving you an incredible motivation to dig out your cars, clear the streets, and get to the Bay Furniture store nearest you. Due to the snow, many of our customers have been left out in the cold, missing our biggest January sale ever. And so we're continuing our sale through February 25th. Bay Furniture offers top quality and the lowest prices you can get anywhere. And Bay will pay your sales tax. Indiana residents receive an additional 5% discount. The Bay treasure chests are still packed, and there's no purchase necessary. If you've lost your key, pick one up at the Bay store nearest you and see if you've won. Bay Furniture in Homewood at 18150 Halstead or in Lincolnwood at 6798 North Lincoln. We've extended our biggest sale ever through February 25th. So join the people who are getting their cars off the street and into Bay Furniture. Bay Furniture. We offer the furnishing touches which help to make a home distinctively yours.
CBS News. New Orleans police have said no to a city proposal to end their strike. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The police turned down the city's plan and voted to continue the 7-day walkout through the rest of the Mardi Gras season. Union official Jack Valenti criticized the city's stand and the position of New Orleans Mayor Ernest Morial.
We were totally surprised. We thought that the situation would make a turn. We thought that our proposal, as reduced as our proposal is, that would cause him to come towards us a little bit. It has not caused him to do anything except do what he's been doing for the last two weeks, and that is setting us up in a deliberate attempt to destroy this police officer's organization.
The police said the city made no offer except an additional $25 in uniform allowance and only limited amnesty for the strikers. The police walkout has resulted in cancellation of the big parades during Mardi Gras season in New Orleans. More news in a moment.
The Wall Street Journal stands alone. No daily publication matches the complete wall-to-wall business coverage it offers. That's why people at the top read the Journal every day. In recent issues, the Journal examined which graduates are the most likely to succeed. The Journal found that today, petroleum engineers are the big men off the campus, the highest-paid graduates. The Journal also covered the casino industry's latest winning streak, how big lenders are standing in line to ante up construction money. Other Journal stories covered the rising cost of beef that has stampeded shoppers to the stores, and an investing theory that suggests the way to beat the market is not by picking winners, but by avoiding losers. All the business news you need, when you need it. Subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. Right now, you can get 20 weeks of the journal, that's 100 copies, for only $22, a real money-saving offer. So call this toll-free number now, 800-228-2222. That's 800-228-2222, except in Nebraska. You'll be billed later.
Vietnam claims that China has stepped up its invasion in an attempt to capture key positions deep inside the country. Radio Hanoi says fierce fighting is going on in two northeastern provinces. A correspondent for a Japanese communist newspaper says Chinese troops were digging in 17 miles south of the border after overrunning a provincial capital. In its Friday editions, the New York Times says Russia appears to have begun an airlift of military supplies to Vietnam, involving four of the Soviet Union's largest cargo planes. The Times also says a Soviet delegation, presumably military, has left for Hanoi. Air turbulence resulted in several injuries Thursday for passengers aboard Alaska Airlines Flight 62 from Anchorage to Juneau. A report from Jeff Ryder of station KJNO in Juneau.
That Alaska Airlines spokesman says the aircraft was at 33,000 feet when it encountered severe turbulence. John Weaver from North Palm Beach, Florida, was a passenger on the flight.
Well, I hit the top of the airplane with my head, and I ended up in the seat behind me. And Cindy, this girl here, landed in the seat behind her, and she hit her head, too. Most people seem to be complaining of back and neck injuries.
Injured in the incident were the five crew members on the plane, six children on the Dolphin swim team from Anchorage, three tour agents on a familiarization tour of Alaska, and two other persons. The aircraft was carrying 106 passengers, three pilots, and a five-member crew. Jeff Ryder for CBS News in Juneau, Alaska.
New charges have been filed against Billy Saul Estes, the Texas promoter who went to jail for a multi-million-dollar fertilizer tank fraud in the 60s. This time, Estes is accused of mail fraud, income tax evasion, interstate transportation of stolen property, and concealing assets. Federal prosecutors claim Estes and others operated a fraudulent oil field stem cleaner rental operation. The AFL-CIO says it will file suit in federal court to challenge President Carter's voluntary wage price guidelines. President George Meany says the Labor Federation objects to the government plan to impose sanctions against companies that fail to adhere to wage limits. Federal Reserve Board Chairman G. William Miller says he doubts we're going to have a recession this year, but Miller told Congress on Thursday if we do get one, his agency will try to lessen the impact. Now this.
Maxwell House is coffee you can count on. Maxwell House, good to the last drop. Maxwell House
is. Good morning.
Maxwell House is.
Good company.
Good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
Maxwell House, coffee you can count on. Always smells good. Always tastes good. Always good to the last drop.
Maxwell House is.
Good coffee.
Good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
When you have a lot of surfaces to clean, grab your partner, Fantastic, the multi-surface spray cleaner. It cleans fiberglass, stainless steel, porcelain, plastic, enamel, vinyl, chrome. Fantastic spray cleaner. Clean surface after surface.
A cherished asset in many communities across the nation will have to go the way of the horse and buggy if new rules proposed by the Department of Energy take effect. The department wants to ban the installation of new outdoor gas lights and prohibit local utilities from supplying fuel to most existing gas lights after 1982. The energy crisis is the reason for the department's proposal. It claims banning gas lights will save the equivalent of 13,000 barrels of oil per day. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
First in news, we're CBS, News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
Good evening. Del Clark here at the anchor desk in the stead of Alan Bickley. Gerhard Steffen is our technician in this half hour of news. Carol Rogulski, our producer. And the writer of record is Don Schubel.